Great. Well, look, everyone hopefully will have had one of these. This is a flyer for our summer series. And we try to do something a little bit different in the summer. We try to have a slightly shorter service and a slightly shorter sermon. Those of you who want shorter sermons, you'll be happy. I've called it Shaping Up for the Summer because we need to look after our bodies, don't we? We're talking about the body of Christ here. And I've noticed that human beings are obsessed with their body. If you look at sort of gossip mags and things, here we are, Shaping Up for the Summer. Nice. Yeah. Now, look at those gossip mags. Must confess, I'm not a great reader of gossip mags. In fact, I don't think I've ever read one, but I have seen the outside of them. I got this off the web, and what's interesting about them is they're always about. I mean, apart from what's happening with celebs, they're also about ladies' bodies, really, okay, and how they should be thinner. And is this person anorexic, you know? Has Princess Catherine put on too much weight since her second pregnancy? Or is posh, Victoria Beckham, is she getting too thin? The rise of the Cinderella waist. I've never heard of it. Has anybody heard of the Cinderella waist? I've never heard of it. Anyway, apparently it's rising. whatever it may mean. People are obsessed with the way their body looks. And actually, it's not only the celeb magazine, it's the posh papers. This was yesterday, this was the Times. It said, are you good for your age? And what we're supposed to do is go through a little online questionnaire, which I must confess I haven't yet had the courage to do, and to work out how old I am for my age. It's all about staving off the effects of aging. And the body is an obsession with people. I was speaking to my daughter a couple of years ago, and she told me about some of her university contemporaries studying medicine at the University of Cambridge. So we've got here top flight medical students. What did they want to go into when they were qualified? Cancer care, pediatrics, not a bit of it. They wanted to go into plastic surgery. Plastic surgeons, and I'm not talking about helping people who've been in accidents or fires, I'm talking about people who are already probably quite good looking, being made to look even more good looking, or to stave off the effect of aging. It seems a bit crazy, at least I think it's crazy, absolutely nutty, but people are obsessed with their bodies. Actually, is it that crazy? I quite like my body, it's the only one I've got. I've been attached to it for a long time. I want to make a bit of a fuss of it. I want to make sure, as far as possible, that it does stay in good shape. It's the same with the body of Christ. As we look around the church, and, you know, it's very easy to see its imperfections. We wish it was different. We wish some people were nicer. We wish we reached more people for Jesus, that we were more generous, that were more miracles and healing, perhaps, better teaching. If you like it, more traditional music. If you don't like that, more contemporary music. Just have a look around. You realize the church, the body of Christ, is far from perfect. But actually, it's the only one there is. It's the only body that Jesus has on earth now. There's no plan B. We are it. So what we need to do is make sure that the body of Christ is working well. So as we put together the program for the summer, we thought, well, whether you're a regular visitor here, or you are, or you're a regular attender here, or you've just come for the very first time, probably if you've got any connection with the church, we might say something which might hit the spot. I hope it will. So a little bit of background, first of all, to what we've had read to us, or what Sally read to us from Rome. It's from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. There you go. On the red dot on the left is, or in the middle, is Corinth. The one on the right is Ephesus. And Paul was writing from Ephesus in western Turkey about AD 55. He'd been in Corinth about 3 years earlier, and you can find out about that in Acts 18. And he stayed about 18 months and he founded a church there. And he's now in Ephesus, and he heard that things weren't going totally smoothly in Corinth. And actually, it's not that far, as you can see. It's only about 350 miles, about 570 kilometers. So not too far away, except think about it. Paul the Apostle, he can't Skype. You know, he can't send a quick email or make a phone call. He can't jump on a plane or even catch a boat very easily. He has to write a letter. And even that's a bit of a challenge to Paul, actually, because he didn't have very good eyesight. So he used to use a secretary, an amanuensis, to write down his letter. He probably dictated it. And then he wrote a greeting in his own hand at the end just to authenticate it. So Paul decides to write a letter to try and put them straight. And the church in Corinth was a young church. Sometimes we're tempted, you know, to look at the church today and then compare it to the church in the early church. And we think, oh, the early church was wonderful. There were no problems. Let me encourage you, if you've ever heard the expression, messy church. Well, if you think the church today is a mess, just look at the Corinthian church. Just founded a couple of years before, full of immature Christians. And the problems that Paul is addressing in his letter are strangely reminiscent to ours. Factions, arrogance, sexual immorality, even lawsuits. They were suing each other when they had an argument. They were struggling with the challenges of living in a multi-faith society. There was snobbery and divisions based on class and background. Their worship was a mess. People were kind of doing their own thing. Some people exercising spiritual gifts, which Paul's all in favor of, but they were doing it in a very uncontrolled way. Some people were denying the resurrection of Jesus. Scarily enough, you get all that in the Church of England today. You really do, including the last bit, scarily enough. So, it's strange, the parallels between the two. In a weird kind of way, I find it encouraging, because at least we know Paul had some solutions. They weren't easy, they weren't quick, but Paul did have some solutions. If there's a way that can be found through all this stuff, then maybe there might be solutions for us. And every time I read this letter, and I've read this letter and certainly parts of it probably thousands of times in the last 40 years since I've been a Christian, and every time I come back to one image, the images of the body. It seems to be that's the thing that the whole letter pivots around. And the reality is the church only works as an organization if it works as a body, not as a group of individuals. Think about it. You get a big group of individuals, and how are you going to get them to work together? How can you do that? Well, there is one way, of course. You could be a bit like this. It could be like tripping the colour. You could have an army of people all ordered around by the person in charge. And they could be given a very strict rule book. They could be told exactly what they have to do. And like an army, or like the people of God in the Old Testament. And actually, the church has tried that one, but the church doesn't make much progress if you just order people around and you just give them a rule book. And I came across a really good example of this a few years ago when I went to this place. That is the Gare du Nord in Paris. It's a big mainline railway station. And I came across a group of French children. There were about 40 children. They were about 5 and 6. And they had about 3 teachers with them. So how do you get 40 tiny children through somewhere like that? What you do is this. You take a big piece of string. You put the piece of string around all the tiny children. Okay. You tell the ones on the outside to hold onto the string. And then everybody moves together. It was really sweet. It was really sweet. Okay. They only had to follow one rule. Stay inside the string. Okay. And it worked. They were safe. Mind you, they didn't make a lot of progress. Can you imagine going along that? They were just shuffling along. It was really sweet. But actually, just this huge blob of tiny children going through this busy station, hanging on to their string for dear life. But there was no focus. There was no direction. They were just hanging on to the string. Okay? You can't take over the world for Jesus hanging on to a string, can you? It just can't do it. So if we want to see dynamic progress for the kingdom of God, there's got to be another way. And the only other way is to get all those disparate people, and you're all a big mixture of people, and the world, the church worldwide, it's even more of a mixture, as we know, is to get all of us to operate as a single entity, as an organic whole, as one body. And the Greek word that Paul uses here for body is not like a corporate institution. It's not an institutional word. It's not like a company or a charity or a denomination. The word is body, like you've got a body, like you've got a, it's like human body, soma, okay? It means human body. And it's personal. And Jesus has He's had a human body before when he was on earth. He's still got a human body in heaven, but he's got one on earth still, and that is us. We're his human body now. We have to function together, which is actually quite counterintuitive, because if we're one body and we're made up of lots of parts, are we going to start rubbing up against each other because we're such a mixture of background and class and education and sex and nation? And, you know, are there going to be collisions and disagreements? How can you make it work? And Paul has a solution as to how you make it work. We can't make the church, the body of Christ, function properly ourselves, but Paul's solution and Jesus' solution is this: the Holy Spirit. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Can you see? Even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all are members of the body, so that though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, if you look at the world, this is not the world solution. This is not the world solution. If you want to get something done, you go and get an autocrat. Someone like that. President Erdogan of Turkey, who's busy arresting people, shutting down newspapers. Okay, actually, he's been elected time after time. People like that. Somewhat terrifyingly, this man could be president of the United States soon. He speaks certainty, can you see? You get a strong person at the front and you give everybody else a rule book to follow. That's how the world solves the problem of working together. It's easy, it's cozy, it's not necessarily comfortable, but it seems to work. How does the world solve the problem of difference? By trying to put people into their own hermetically sealed boxes of race and background and class. That's what people often want. That was behind a lot of what was being talked about during the referendum, Brexit. We want our country back. Vote to leave. Why are all these foreigners coming over here, living in our town, taking our jobs, moving into our schools? You know? Actually, the body of Christ, we're all foreigners. We're all foreigners. That's what the Bible says. We were estranged from God, but Jesus brought us home. We were outside the family of God, but we've been adopted. So we're now all one family. And the only way to get this big mixture of people, all these different people, to work together, the massive mixture of people of different backgrounds and class and education and race, is the Holy Spirit to do it. To allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to weld together into organic whole. So we work together. And what does he do then? Organisms like this, what do they do? You've got a little organism. What does it do? In nature, it reproduces. It gets bigger. It gets bigger. And you can only do that. It can be transplanted to different places. Can you see? And expand. And the only way you can do that is if it's organic, if it's a growing organism. That's the way the church is meant to work. Not a system of rules and regulations, not with somebody ordering you around, but the Holy Spirit working within each one of us, and us as a group of people, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And somehow all the different bits work. The Holy Spirit's in charge, the different bits all work, even if they're all totally different. Okay, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, so different religious and different racial background, slaves or free, different states of society. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. See, the world has a real problem living with difference, but in the case of the body of Christ, we are designed to operate in that way, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God does it. God does it. At its best, then the church is an amazing mixture brought together as one. So, for the next few weeks, we're going to look at different aspects of this. First of all, on how everyone has a part to play. because everyone gets to exercise spiritual gifts, on how God values our differences, on how each part is really important, and how love works to make all this happen in a wonderful way. But just one thing I just wanted to leave you with. God, this seems pretty impossible, doesn't it? How can this kind of organization be made to work? And you know, God is the God of the impossible. That's what the resurrection of Jesus and all his miracles is all about. The growth and survival of the church over 2,000 years proves that God is the God of the impossible. If this wasn't the work of the Holy Spirit, there'd be no church left. And if that's so, God, I believe that God's plan for us is to be involved in making the impossible possible in our own lives. And I've been watching God do this actually in the church here in Swanage. In fact, just in the last few months, actually. This is Berno. The guy on the left is Berno. He's our new youth minister. And last Wednesday, we commissioned him in a special service at St. Mary's Church. We commissioned him as our youth minister. And it was a wonderful evening. Loads of people there from all loads of different churches all came out and brought greetings, prayed for Berno. It was marvellous. And actually also people from the different Anglican churches as well. And the following day, I spoke to a man from St. Mary's Church, actually. And he's a very nice guy. I don't know him very well, but he's always struck me as a very kind of straight guy, very conventional Christian. I speak to him on the phone, and he was so overcome by the service that he'd been to. He broke down on the phone. He broke down in tears. He said, "I've been waiting for this to happen for decades. And I just couldn't believe that what I was seeing. God is doing a remarkable thing in turning the hearts of people to one another and doing a remarkable thing, actually, even in the Anglican churches here as well. It's been marvellous. All coming together. And it seemed to this man that it would never happen. He'd been praying for it for years. It would never happen. He saw it begin to happen in front of his eyes in St. Mary's Church on Wednesday. Can you see how God is in the business of making the impossible possible? And he's in the business of doing that in our own lives through his body. The church should not work. It just shouldn't work. Okay? It doesn't work in the world's eyes. But in God's eyes, under the power of the Holy Spirit, this is how it is meant to work. And it is an extraordinary, extraordinary miracle. So look, if you have situations or people where you think this is just not possible, I need God to move, it just isn't possible. I truly believe that God is in the business of making the impossible possible. So if that's you, this morning is the moment to reach out to him. So I'm going to pray. And then after our service, if you'd like some prayer ministry, there'll be a prayer ministry team at the front. Please do come and receive some prayer. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your body, the church. Lord, it seems so impossible, Lord, but amazingly enough, time and time again, you work in power. Thank you for what you've been doing in the church in Swanage over the last few months and the last few years, but in particular in the last few months. Thank you for what you're doing, how you're bringing us together in an extraordinary way. Lord, I know there are situations here of folks here who need you to move in power and make the impossible possible. Please come in power into those situations. Lord, if we bring them before you, Lord, please do miracles in our lives. We want to see you come in power. So please speak into our lives and hearts, we pray. Amen.